Hello and welcome to the Tuesday, April 2nd, 2024 edition of the Sands and its Storm Centers Stormcast. My name is Johannes Ulrich and I'm recording from Jacksonville, Florida. I'm just going to start with a quick wrap-up and some small updates regarding the XC Utils backdoor. Overall, no major news really sort of broke today regarding it. A lot of clarifications and details. Boyan did post the reverse engineering details that I mentioned yesterday. So if you're interested in some of this, take a look at the blog post. We're still hoping to put together some kind of video content for Tuesday. Once that's live, I'll definitely advertise it on the Internet Storms and our website and our various social media outlets. I would expect it to go live afternoon Eastern time. As far as updates and details go, Andreas Freund did clarify that the initial indicator wasn't the delayed login, but instead just logins failing. This was definitely a feature slash bug in the early versions of the backdoor, in particular the one that was released with 5.6.0. I've seen at least one attempt to create a honeypot, also one sort of demo of the actual backdoor. In order to create the demo, a different key was used to log in to the SSH server. Remember that the backdoor triggers on a particular key being used to connect to SSH. Of course, the private key here is not known, and the demo base just swapped the keys out for a known key, so the backdoor actually worked. That's helpful to kind of verify some of the static code analysis that people like Boyan have performed on this backdoor. There's also an intense hunt out now for other similar compromised repositories, and that's certainly a good thing. However, just want to note that there was one post on social media today that turned out to be sort of an April Fool's joke. Don't really joke with this right now. A lot of people are working hard to remediate and to really get to the bottom of this, so don't waste their time. And others have also helped kind of stitch together a little bit the social engineering part of the puzzle. And Brian Krebs posted on LinkedIn, I believe, but likely also on other social media, that he noted that the email address used by the rogue contributor was used nowhere else but with GitHub and issues associated with these patches. That's highly unusual, according to Brian Krebs. He's doing a lot of investigations like this. And if someone happens to use an email address for a few years, they inevitably end up in some breaches and on some other websites unrelated to a particular task, unless someone is very disciplined in how they're using email addresses, which, well, is in part an indicator that they may be up to no good. So maybe this can be used to identify some accounts that do deserve some additional scrutiny. And hopefully I'm representing the consensus well here, but this event luckily has been a close miss in the sense that it's highly unlikely that this backdoor was activated on any significant number of systems. Of course, our work on normal diaries doesn't stop, and we had one from Didier today that looked into checking CSV files. Comma delimited files, of course, are a very common standard format to exchange data, and actually this was done in a little bit in response to a tool posted by Xavier that represents Apache logs in this comma delimited format. So Didier created a quick tool, csvstats.py, that allows you to get some basic statistics from CSV files. How many rows, how many columns, but then also things like most frequent values for each one of the columns, which of course makes it really easy for these weblogs to, for example, get your most frequent and infrequent, for that matter, user agent strings. One operating system that was not affected by the XCUtils backdoor was macOS. So just fair that we are covering some of the other threats that are affecting macOS. And one of them, as sadly so often, is the ability of users to install software. Yamf, the Mac security company, does have a blog with some of the latest info stealers they have seen. They are, as sadly so often, being advertised via ads on Google. And for example, one ad that they have seen is advertising a browser called Arc. And they're sort of branding it as a Chrome replacement. Of course, there are many good Chrome replacements like Brave, but in this case, it leads actually to a malicious version of the browser via a slightly odd URL. This remains to be a common problem that we do have users just simply installing a malware and bypassing a lot of the protections that way. This also has some tricks to bypass some of the gatekeeper warnings. While the file that you're downloading is digitally signed, it would still trigger a warning, but you can still install it. You just have to right-click on it, and the instructions that are coming with the little DMG file when you open it are basically just instructing you to do just that in order to avoid any delays in installing the malware. More details, again, in the Yamf blog. Well, and that's it for today. Just a quick reminder, a Google Podcast is going away. This podcast should be available in Google Music. So if you're still subscribing via Google Podcast, make sure you change to Google Music. If it's not available, let me know, or if there's any other service where I should add this podcast, please let me know. Thanks, and talk to you again tomorrow. Bye.